Hello everyone, Faith here. Just a few things before we start this episode. We recorded this conversation at the end of 2019. We delayed the release of this episode in the wake of the protests and riots following the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. This cultural moment isn't addressed in this episode, but we hope to cover this in the future. In the meantime, we pray that you lean into listening, lamenting, and learning from our Black brothers and sisters. Black lives matter to us, and we are firm believers in the gospel, which brings diverse and even warring people together under the loving and reconciling work of Christ. We love you guys. With that, here's the Social Media Machine episode. Welcome to the Third Culture Podcast,
a podcast by two third culture kids.
I'm Faith.
And I'm Krista.
And this is the social media episode. Woo-hoo. Dun, dun, dun. Social media. Why is social media?
What?
Why is Gamora?
Why is Gamora?
Social media is very much a part of everyone's life currently.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Let's start at the beginning. Dial up. Where were you when you first got internet?
I was living in Canada.
Ah.
Yes. And I remember how upset everyone in the house would get if you accidentally picked up the telephone.
It was so loud.
And then you would break the internet connection
the
if
original,
someone picked up the telephone.
Right. The original breaking of the internet.
Yeah. And people, I mean, we were on the internet maybe at the most an hour at a time because mom and dad needed to use the phone.
Right.
So that was a thing. So
because you wouldn't know who was going to call you.
No. No, and they can't call you if you're on the internet.
Right.
Yeah. Because
you needed your phone line.
You needed a phone line.
To connect to the internet.
Yeah. And goodness. I think I used the internet predominantly for like homework stuff.
Right.
Research. Mm. And then I think, I'm embarrassed to say this, but the first social media thing that I had even before MySpace was this thing called Asian Avenue.
Asian Avenue.
I don't want to talk about it, but all the older
kids. But this
kids,
is a podcast.
I know. You have I don't to talk about it. Here we are. No, but Asian Avenue was the thing that all the cool older kids were on.
Oh.
And but it was just a chat room. Like it didn't have like you didn't make your profile. You just like made a username.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure my username was always smiles 07.
Always smiles
with a Z.
07 smiles.
And then you just chat.
Yeah. With for, Asians.
For random. Yeah, with Asians.
On an online avenue.
On an online avenue. It's dumb. But it happened.
There's that.
What about
you? That is amazing. And I have secondhand embarrassment.
I'm going to sit here in silence in my embarrassment for like a second.
Oh, man. That's how it all began with you, with social media, huh? I was in Abu Dhabi when we first got internet. No, I was in San Antonio. We were living in San Antonio right before we moved to the Middle East. And then that's where my dad made my first email. And it was FTHIE@juno.com. Faithy with an 8. We were edgy.
We were very...
At juno.com.
The way you spelled that reminds me of USHER.
What? Usher. Oh, Usher. I was like, what is that spell?
What is the spell?
To write it out. US. Yeah, so he made me my first email. I think it was like 8 years old. I don't know why he made me an email, honestly. I think it's just so he can like capitalize on it. It's like, this girl's going to go far. We should get her,
get her an email
address. So yeah, dial-up was a thing in our lives. I think the very, very first social media thing I ever got may have been Zynga. Would you count Zynga as?
Because it was very similar to
LiveJournal.
LiveJournal, yeah.
More like an online journal, and then Friendster.
Oh my gosh!
Do you remember Friendster?
I forgot about Friendster.
Before MySpace, there was Friendster.
Oh my goodness.
And then
MySpace was a
then
huge
MySpace.
Thing for a while, for a really long time.
Right. And then I had everyone had AOL.
Yeah.
Online thing. And then MSN Messenger.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay, here's another question. What's your most embarrassing email address?
I don't know what it was me about smiling. Mm-hmm. I just wanted everyone to know that I was always freaking smiling. That
always.
It was, I think it was always like smiles forever or like, like I don't know why I thought that was like the thing to be known for.
Okay, that's not that embarrassing though.
Because my dad also made my first email. Right. And so it was very like, normal, like Krista_arena@hotmail.com was like my first email. It was my email for like years.
And then you're like, that's boring.
And then you found out that you can make your own email and then you give that to the hands of a 13-year-old and it's like all the numbers in the world.
Yes, for sure. Possibilities are endless.
You know? You just wanted to be so unique.
You just wanted to be so cool.
Yeah.
What
about you?
Now I'm embarrassed to say. Because yours is not as embarrassing as mine. Okay. I made when I was maybe 11. I'm so embarrassed. I made two.
What was it?
NSYNC.
Yes.
_
Yes.
Rules with a Z. RULEZ 2000 at hotmail.com.
Yes.
And then.
They probably thought it was like a fan base.
Oh. Yeah. Absolutely.
Fan account.
If I were to fan email any of them, they would have been like, oh yeah, we need to bring this girl on tour. For sure. And then, do you remember the magazine Tiger Beat?
Yes.
So my second email was teen. _tiger2000@hotmail.com. Clearly it was the 2000s.
Yeah. That's when it all happened.
And what kills me about that email is because I wasn't a teenager. But I put teen tiger. I didn't even like tigers. But I loved Tiger Beat. So there's that.
I know. They had always those really sweet, like, posters that you can rip out of the magazine and stick to your wall.
But my mom wouldn't let me because she called it idolatry. So.
Oh, you're right.
But, you know, I found a workaround. I would put movie posters up that had
those people
had that had Josh Hartnett in it, and that was his golden moment. All that Pearl Harbor, etc. Anyways,
we have branched out.
We have just reminisced about the past. So then social media is a thing that started even way back when. Right. And then, like we said, there was Friendster, then MySpace, and then Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get Facebook because I was too young until I was in college.
At that point, you could only open an account if you had a college email.
Right, an EDU.
And then I finally got an EDU. And then, like, a year later, they opened it up to everybody.
Ooh, that's when everyone, I hopped on.
Yeah, sure. That's when everyone was on it.
And Instagram. Twitter, yes. Then Instagram, I guess. Uh-huh. But Instagram blew up. And that's...
Instagram, I think, snuck into this situation, dude. I don't think anyone knew it was going to be as big as it is.
No one knew. And the appeal for Instagram for me was I loved medium format film. So, I had a Diana and I had, like, you know, this old film, and that look was so cool. And when Instagram came out, it just gave us all a digital version of these like Polaroid type of looks, and it was painfully hipster, and we thought it was so cool. We thought we were so cool, and we jumped on Instagram.
Right.
Those were good times. And now, isn't it interesting to think that there are 3.2 billion people in the world on social media right now? Which means that's about 42% of the population of the entire world. And what's also interesting about that, another fun fact, is that the Philippines is one of the top users online. Thinking through that as well, like we're a very small country.
Yeah.
India is also one of the top users of social media. It's insane. It's just become this norm for us culturally today. And Gen Zers as well, because you and I have been in youth ministry for a while.
Yeah.
Gen Z, which is the generation right after millennials, have only ever known the internet.
Yeah, they've never known a life without it.
Mm-hmm. Have only ever known that digital life. How have you seen that affect young people today, in your experience, you would say?
Gen Zers? Or?
Yeah. Well, I guess let's start with millennials then.
Okay, so like more for me personally, it's hard because I do remember a time where we didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember a time where you had to become a little creative to occupy your day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you had like legit hobbies. You had books, or you would play outside, or you would meet up with friends. You know, like mall rats was like a thing. For senior millennials, I don't know how much it's affected us per se in a negative way, because we can still have face-to-face social interactions and it's not difficult,
mm-hmm.
unless you're just socially awkward like some people, but I'm like that sometimes, you know. Same. But for people who are younger than me, or who were like maybe at the tail end of the millennial frame, I have seen maybe a lack of practice on the face-to-face interaction, you know, like it's difficult to meet up with someone for hours at a time without someone grabbing for their phone and mm-hmm. wanting to like fill in those like awkward silent moments. But I've also seen I can be like amazing friends with someone on social media.
Yeah.
And then when I meet them face to face, they can't talk to me. And I'm just like, wait, like you and I like interact back and forth mm-hmm. and like, you know, and we send funny videos and memes all day long. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to like having real life friendships, it falls very flat.
Mm-hmm.
And
it just seems a little bit more difficult.
It's a little more difficult. There's times where you're like, maybe I'm not as interesting as I pretend to be. Mm-hmm. But in my brain, I'm like, I'm not pretending who I am on social media, but there's like a certain, there's a disconnect, I guess, in a sense that I've seen where I'm like, oh, I don't know what created that, or if it's just like a lack of opportunity, I guess, to be in front of someone undistracted. To, like, have that, I don't know, face-to-face interaction. But that's the stuff that I've seen.
I also think that the older generation that raises Gen Zers may have been ill-equipped going into it.
Oh, yeah.
Not to knock them or anything, but I don't think any of us really knew how much social media would play a role in this next generation. It's so intense. Maybe even to the point where the reason why a lot of young people may have just trouble with face-to-face interaction is because social media is just an extension of how they build relationships now. Yeah. It's a part of how they build relationships now. But then the older generation may not quite understand that. They may think, well, you can't have an actual relationship with someone unless you meet them face-to-face. Yes and no. Because I know from experience in my own world where I've made such deep friendships with people online and through Instagram, which is an unheard of statement to think about it. Like when the internet first started, you meeting someone online, people would kind of make fun of it.
Right.
But now it's completely normal where you make friends with someone on Instagram or on Twitter or whatever, and then you build a friendship and then you meet face to face. And I think it's because of my personality. When I see someone face to face for the first time that I've been friends with online with, it's as if it's just continuing from online to... It's not like, well, this is the first time I've ever met you. It's, no, we've met before, but now we're meeting face-to-face. And I think because of my personality, I can make actual legitimate friendships online versus in person. But yeah, like you said, there is a con to the whole face-to-face interaction because I think we're out of practice. It's interesting how much freedom we have as a generation when it comes to social media. I did a presentation about social media and the gospel just from thinking through things and from praying through it too. I was like, okay, God, give me a definition of social media that may be helpful for us as Christians in this modern world. And that definition is, social media is a worldwide highway of conversation with the sacred potential of being used by followers of Jesus to carry the message of the gospel. And I guess that premise mostly came from the thought that when Paul was alive, alive and well, preaching the gospel all over the world, and when Christ had come before that, it was just the prime time for any message to get anywhere.
Right.
Because it was this Pax Romana that was happening. There were Roman roads that led to everywhere in the known world at the time. So if you had a message to send or if you had to travel anywhere, it was so easy. That idea bleeds now into social media where we have this online highway that leads to everywhere as well. So as a believer, we're given the Great Commission to share the gospel and to be messengers. Shout out to MSN Messenger. to be messengers of the gospel. And we can literally go anywhere in the world.
Right.
And I believe there's two ways that we can approach this then. We can engage with this tool or we can disengage with this tool.
Right.
And where I've come to is that neither are good nor bad. Because you can engage so much with social media that you lose track of reality. And then you can disengage so much with social media to the point where you have no compassion for people. What are your experiences with those two things, with engaging and disengaging? Because there is a healthy balance. Because
there
are times where you do need to disengage and to unplug, and that's go back to the primitive ways of life of being less hurried and less needing affirmation through online things. But there's also a point where you have no way of connecting with this generation that we're living in right now.
I'm a very, like, the most standard person with social media. Like, I have only two. I only have Instagram and Facebook. And the way that I use my social media is to stay connected with my friends. I'm more of the, like, so-and-so's traveling, or they're doing this project with so-and-so, or whatever. And so it's very quick updates for me. So that's never really overwhelmed me because they're my friends and I know who they are and I have a relationship with them outside of it and whatnot. I think for me, when on the engagement end of it, I have found myself overwhelmed at times when I step out and look at everything that's happening in the world, because I can't. Like, I can go on Instagram and do the search bar and everything that's going on in the world, whether it be a movie premiere or activist movings or whatever, that's when I'm like, dang, Lord, what role do we have to play in this? How do I engage with this? Mm. How should I be praying about this? You know, I've also seen, like, the times that I'm scrolling through social media, I'm either prompted to pray about something very specific that I had no idea was even going on, or like a moment of discernment hits me. And I'm like, dang, here's a friend of mine that I haven't connected with in a couple of years. And I'm watching them and I'm like, I'm really discerning this and being able to extend that. So I've seen that end of it. Again, like you were saying, like, it's neither bad or good. On the disengagement end of it, there is times where I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. And then I feel like I'm getting prompted to kind of enter into that, like, I need an opinion about something, or I need to fight it or whatever, or enter into the social media fight or war or what have you. And I think that's where a majority of, like, I have seen a lot of parents be more on that end recently, where they're just like, you know, I understand the concern because I feel it myself, and I see it myself. But but at the same time, like, I pray all the time for just godly balance when it comes to that stuff. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, it is good for us to know what's going on, and it should cause our hearts to break and then therefore get on our knees and pray about specific things. But at the same time, like, the disengagement or even the desire to just pull the remnant out of it entirely because of all these things that could go wrong with it, that for me, I struggle with a little bit, just because, like you said, like, they're in this. How do you pull people out of something that is, like, so much a part of their everyday living? And I think it deepens the disconnect even further.
Yeah.
And I think there's real dangers there too.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's dangers on both ends, but for you, like, where is there a balance that is achievable, I guess?
Absolutely. I work as a social media manager and strategist for some people, where I give advice to some musical artists and churches and how to engage with their social platforms. So this is something I encounter pretty often. But there is a balance, especially as believers. The beauty about being a Christian on social media is that we have a better way.
Yeah.
As far as where we set our affection and where we set our focus. It's so easy to blame social media when, in fact, the actual bad guy is my own heart.
Yeah.
When it comes to idolatry. Because we are so quick to
make idols of things, make idols of people, make idols of idealized versions of what it means to be human. But then we blame social media, cut that off, but don't actually deal with the heart part, the heart part, the heart part. John Calvin himself called our hearts idol factories, and it's very important that we do acknowledge when to engage and when to disengage. And disengaging is very healthy.
Yeah.
Because we do need to get back to a spiritual formation that isn't dependent necessarily on technology, but is just solely dependent on how we connect with the divine, how we connect with the Lord. Sometimes we do use social media, whether it be a Bible app or whatever, or even just like playing music in the background. You need technology to do that. Like that's really helpful stuff. But getting back to a slower pace oftentimes requires us to disengage. What happens when, like, what if we go to the extreme of removing the remnant of believers? Where it's to the point where, like, this is so bad, we need to get out.
Yeah.
What then happens to people who are on social media? At the end of the day, Gen Zers are all on social media. If you don't think your kid is...
They are.
They probably are. Or at least, like, their friends are. So there's something that's happening in the life of Generation Z that really you can only be relatable to if you understood social media. If you at least, like, get why this is so important to them. So engaging to understand is really helpful. We can ask God to show us the things that he's concerned with, the things that matter, the things that don't matter when it comes to our approach to social media, where we can healthily engage with social media. So at the end of the day, social media is not the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And there are two questions that are very helpful that I've learned to practice in my day-to-day dealings, not just with social media, but with just life in general and the words that I say and how I am a person today in this modern world. But two questions I ask is, who am I becoming? Who am I becoming with things that I do? Who am I becoming with things that I say? The people I spend my time with, the things I spend my time doing as far as like the things that I watch, the things that I look up and all that stuff.
Right.
And then who are we becoming as a generation? Because I think it's not just me here, you know, we have to also think about the broader scope of like people around us too. Who are we becoming when it comes to social media and whatever? So who am I becoming? Who are we becoming? Two very cool questions that could apply to anything.
Yeah.
Where we can take that is, who am I becoming by how I treat my fellow Imago Dei, image of God? Because we believe that we've been all created in the image of God. Even those who don't know Jesus are made in the image of God. So you think about social media, it's often a battlefield of opinions.
Yeah.
Because everyone automatically thinks that their opinions matter, which is interesting. Because usually they don't. People are willing to die on hills that don't matter.
Right.
People get so up in arms about things that they will demonize anyone with opposing views.
Right.
And we just totally forget that we've all been made in the image of God. We all have, at some point in our lives, been posed with the question of what we're going to do with God or what we're going to do with Christ. And I think it gets so unhealthy. That's why a lot of people run away from social media.
Right.
Because of that.
Sometimes I'm more bothered by what other believers put on social media.
Yes!
Than my non-believing friends.
Ooh.
You know?
Unpack and like that. Why?
And so it's because that, okay, go back to the balance of disengaging and engaging. Mm-hmm. Like that's when I go, do I have permission to just like, hey, why is this on your social media? Mm-hmm. Or like, why would you even put that out there, you know? Or what have you. Like, I'm just going to have a very honest moment real quick. You know, I follow certain people who would literally war against specific things that are like, like someone battled Halloween, you know, like
right,
you know, that whole situation of like, I get
hypothetically, if someone were to start something because they hate Halloween,
They hate Halloween. And, you know, obviously I see that, and I read their post, and I'm not saying that I necessarily disagree with their posts.
Yeah.
But there's a certain level where I'm also in that place of, like, what would other people who are not a part of the church, who sees this, what imprint of the church are we leaving behind?
Ooh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, because churches, you know, they do try to, most churches do try to redeem things that are of, like, of the world.
Yeah.
You know, they just like, let's.
TBH, pagan traditions. Like, think about Christmas, you know, or Halloween or whatever.
Yeah.
But the church has adopted them over the years and made something of it that, actually turns into a really cool,
thing,
way of reaching out to people,
or whatever, what have you.
And
you know?
And I get that there are people of different consciences,
right?
Who
and
are
different,
like,
convictions.
I can't engage with this because my mom has been like that, where she's like, I cannot engage with Halloween as people do, but she doesn't like demonize people,
right?
Who do,
but when
with
it
that.
Happens,
yeah.
You know, I cringe on the internals because I'm kind of like. Not everybody that follows you and not everybody who sees you are a part of an understanding community that is within the church.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I can't help but wonder what are we leaving behind as the church to those who are not of the church.
Right.
Because social media is a giant room.
It is.
It's one massive
one
room.
Huge room, and everyone's talking,
everyone's
in
there,
the room, which leads me to the next thing is, who am I becoming with how I witness to outsiders? Because at the end of the day, we're in this, the internet is a massive room, we're all talking, therefore everyone's listening and everyone's in the room. Outsiders, quote-unquote outsiders, so people who aren't in the church. In Colossians 5 says, Paul himself said, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. There are some molehills that we're turning into mountains as believers that really are just our opinions, but we're turning into, we're putting them up to the height of like gospel truth.
Right.
And it's frightening.
It's frightening. And at the same time, like, because I'm in there.
Ugh. Yeah.
And I'm not as loud, maybe. But I'm also, whether I like it or not, I am being represented by those who are louder than me.
No!
You know what I'm saying?
No! Yeah.
I can't help but, like, not like that. Like, I don't like it. Like,
I don't like it.
You know? Like, so my question then is, what do I do?
Yeah.
As a part of... both ends now, like whenever, you know, whenever things like that happen, I'm like, yes, I'm a part of the church from where some of these things are coming out of, you know, like members of the body. And then I'm also now, whether I like it or not, are part of the outsiders because I don't agree with this thing, you know? And so, like, what role do we then have? Because at the end of the day, I can either, I have... like you said, I have two options. I can engage, but then if I engage, it does look like I'm just attacking my own body.
Right.
But if I disengage, I'm letting some of this gunk,
right,
you know, out. And so I don't know.
I don't know. I really do believe that God has placed us and given us gifts so that even in the form of social media, we can represent a better way. And not that we're better than those people who think this certain way about certain topics like Halloween or Christmas or whatever.
Right.
You know, I want to see it as like, okay, this is what's beautiful about the body of Christ, because there's someone for everyone. You know, there are people who feel very, very strongly about this. But those people also need to understand that there are people who don't actually feel very strongly about this.
Right.
there are obviously fundamental truths that are non-negotiable, for right. sure. There's like those primary doctrinal truths that no one should ever skip out on, like Jesus is God and stuff like that, yeah. you know. But there are, like, you know, secondary and tertiary things that are a little bit different that we do need to be wary of when it comes to social media and our representation of the body of Christ. Then we do need to acknowledge, like, we have different denominational expressions and we have different approaches to the mysteries of right. scripture, because there are, you know, something like, we don't know, like, there's is the rapture going to happen? Wow. So like, yes, yeah, some people feel strongly. Yes. Yeah, some people yeah. feel strongly. No, it's like, but are we going to die on this hill? And right. are we going to just fight each other over these things specifically on social media? Yeah. It's like, is this where you think like the council of oh. like, we're not, the council of Nicaea would not have happened over social media. You know what I mean? Like that. That's what I'm trying to say. Whatever council canonized anything or
right.
set aside our beliefs, like that's just not going to be what happens on social media. So we do need to be conducting ourselves in wisdom in this room.
Right. Like there's definitely have been times where I personally have felt led to practice a little bit of transparency. It doesn't mm-hmm. happen very often, but yeah. there's definitely times where, you know, I have definitely written posts and then deleted them, you yes. know, just because I kind of yes. knew, you know, that the reason why I would have posted it was just not solid motivation for it.
Yeah.
But there have been times where I really felt like, okay, the Lord is really working on this specific thing. It is a little bit transparent. There is a certain level of vulnerability in it, you know, mm-hmm. a bit of a confession, really.
Mm-hmm.
And me at peace and posting it or sharing it, I have seen responses.
Yeah.
You know, I have seen responses of people just saying, like, I really need to hear that. Yes. I'm actually going through the exact same thing. Or the other way around, I then walk away encouraged because someone said, dude, I just got over that season and the Lord was showing me these things. Or, you know, reminders of those things. And I think that they're, you know, that chasm that I was talking about earlier, because sometimes it is. It feels disconnected because there's a face on the other side of the phone that you do not know. You right. know what I mean?
But there is a face.
There is a face.
Yeah.
You know, and I think what we were forget saying. That. Yeah, I forget that all the time. I'm just like throwing it out there into a matrix of nothing. But yeah. it isn't. It's coming. There's a response. And whenever I've seen that, I feel like I've seen that minister to me, number one.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, minister to people, whether yeah. they be believers or not. Like I've had both parties, believers and non-believers, respond to certain things. And so with that to say, I wonder what it would look like if the church stepped out like that sometimes, you know, and be able to even practice some of those very well discerned times to be able to extend just vulnerability.
Yeah.
Just the realities of, like, you know, because I hear it a lot, like people just assume that Christians have perfect lives, you know what I mean? And we look at things very nonchalantly, like everything will be fine because we have a God who works all things good for us. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that all things are good, but we understand these things and our faith kind of makes our life kind of like, not that things don't suck, they do,
mm-hmm.
but we have a hope in it.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that sometimes that hope could be pictured in a way that, like, it's too giddy and good and lucky and, like, happy and mm-hmm. kind of cringy to some people. And I think on the who are we becoming or how can we be better in this is to even have opportunities to do that, to even open up, like, those kind of things and not to be so mysterious as a body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to allow some life to seep through.
Yes.
I feel like that's a ministry that's happening
yeah.
through this thing that sometimes we demonize, you know?
Okay, I guess one of my pet peeves is when people are like, it's just the highlight reel. I know how I use social media. I know how my friends like you use social media.
Right.
Like, we're not just BSing around with, we're not just pretending like everything's okay.
Not everything is fabricated.
Right. Just because I know how to edit a photo doesn't mean I'm, like, face-tuning my life, you know? Right. Like, sometimes because I worked as a photographer, too, and I want things to look nice.
Right.
I want things to be aesthetically pleasing which is another pet peeve.
In my head, I'm like, segue.
Segue into, we need to stop posting ugly graphics. Christians, just stop. Like, if you don't know if this graphic is ugly, ask your Gen Z or millennial son or daughter. They will tell you. Because I feel like if you send me a verse on an ugly graphic with, like, sparkly, like a sparkly gif, as a sparkly gif, like, I don't care what verse it is.
I'm not going to read it.
I'm not ministered to. God's not glorified.
And just kidding. Officially fired. Whatever.
And we're fired. I know. God's word doesn't return void. Yeah. Amen. I get it. But if the medium is ugly, I don't want to hear. I don't like it. Okay. So, and this, let this be a note for everyone. If you have a verse that you really want to post and you're like, oh yeah, I really want this graphic with a red rose on it, send it to me. I will redesign it for you. Because I don't want the name of God to be shamed by your ugly graphics.
We're awful.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, that's it. But so do you think we're in a good place, though, as a church? Do you see a vast improvement?
Oh, yeah.
On social media?
I think even within the last, like, 5 years, I think it's gotten much better.
God is going to use it. I'm so hopeful for where we're headed. So I think that's a good place for us to wrap up, you know, in hopefulness of what
is ahead
and where we're at right now. So again, if you guys have really ugly graphics that you'd like to post, send them my way at thirdculturepod@gmail.com. This is so much better. What if you just sent me all the ugly ones that you find on Facebook? And I will just put it on our Instagram.
On our Instagram.
That'll be so funny. Thumbs up if you think it's funny.
I got thumbs up. Both my thumbs are up.
Those thumbs are up. Beep. Oh, you know what we forgot? What? What is something that you like right now?
I just love that Audibles lets me read, quote unquote, and also lets me do stuff around the house.
Yeah.
So I really got into the Percy Jackson books.
Yes.
Like years ago, but I'm now reading the Lost Hero series.
Ooh.
By the same author.
Come
on. And it is dope. What about you, Faye?
I love Terrell. On YouTube. Terrell is my boy who loves Jesus, who just has guests over on the show who can sing amazing.
He just had PJ Morton recently.
He just had PJ Morton! And he just has them play games like Song Association on his channel. And it's so funny.
It's so entertaining.
And I also want to quit music because all these people are amazing singers and just their vocal runs.
The goal is for you to get on the Terrell show.
Absolutely not. There's no way. I don't have runs. My voice walks. Power walks, if anything. I have no vocal runs, just power walks, if
That's
anything.
So funny.
I mean, I would love to interview Terrell. He just seems like a really awesome man.
I know, and I love the concept of his show. It's so simple. So but simple. So entertaining.
Yeah, so that's what I like right now. Cool. Well, there's that.
Okay.
Well, thanks for listening.
Bye.
TTYL.
From All Smiles 07.
No! Teen Tiger 2000. Okay, bye.